Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Closer Than She Knows by Kelly Irvin. A serial killer bent on revenge and striking too close to home. Tegan O'Rourke has always loved murder mysteries. In her job as a court reporter, she has written official records for dozens of real-life murders. She slapped evidence stickers on crime scene photos. She's listened to hours of chilling testimony. But she's never known the smell of death. And she never thought she might be a victim. Until now. A young police officer is murdered just inches away from her. And then a man calling himself a serial killer starts leaving Tegan notes, signing each with the name of a different murderer from her favorite mystery novels. Panicked, Tegan turns to her friend, Max Kennedy. Max longs for more than friendship with Tegan, but he fears she'll never trust someone with a past like his. He wonders how much of God's tough love he can take before he gives up on love completely. And he wonders if he'll be able to keep Tegan alive long enough to find out. As Tegan, Max, and Tegan's police officer father race to track down the elusive killer, they each know they could be the next victim. Desperate to save those she loves, Tegan battles fears that once haunted her in childhood. Nothing seems to stop this obsessed murderer. No matter what she does, he seems to be getting closer.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with best-selling author Kelly Irvin. She's written 19 books, including Romantic Suspense and Amish Romance. That's quite a breath there of writing, Kelly. And she's been a newspaper reporter, and now she writes fiction full-time and lives in Texas. So welcome to my show, Kelly.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, that is quite a romantic suspense and Amish. I know you can have Amish romantic suspense, but you must have to kind of switch your hats a little bit to write for both of those genres.
I enjoy it. For several years, I was just writing Amish romance for publication. But I love reading mystery suspense and romantic suspense, and so I pitched an idea to my publisher to do romantic suspense, and they agreed to collaborate with me on putting that out there and see if readers would, if there would be an audience for both for me, and that it's really good for me because it allows me to stretch in another direction. I think creatively, it helps me stay fresh in both genres.
Yeah, I think that's marvelous that you're able to do that. And then your most recent book, Closer Than She Knows, you tell me that you had a little bit of a story on how you decided to write that. So why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, several years ago, as a full-time public relations manager in my adopted hometown of San Antonio, Texas, and at the same time, I had kids at home, and I had the opportunity to do some contract work on the side for court reporters proofreading their transcripts. And with transcripts, you have to make sure that they get every word, word for word, what was said in court. And so I read all these transcripts of murder trials, capital murder trials, aggravated assaults, all sorts of stories that really highlighted the seamy side of life. And so it was great fodder for stories. And as the time went by, I thought, I've never seen a story where a court reporter was the main character at the point that you saw the story from the point of view of a court reporter. And it's so it just fits so well into the crime genre because they're responsible for the evidence in trials. And a lot of people think they're just transcribers, so they're just typists, mm-hmm. but there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into recording a trial. So I had the opportunity recently to actually write that story, and I just really enjoyed doing it and having a court reporter who's a friend of mine from that era in my life be my expert for that story.
Well, that sounds fascinating. So do you have more? Is you going to continue this character in other books, or is this a one-off mystery?
Yeah, these are our standalones, actually. The thing that they have in common is that they're set in San Antonio for the most part. I have one that starts in San Antonio and goes to Laredo that involves trafficking guns from the United States to Mexico. But the characters are standalone, but I really enjoyed having the opportunity to write some of the characters that I, based on people that I know in the court system here, and in particular the court reporter who was the basis for Tegan.
Oh, yes, yeah. And I guess that helps you with the, knowing, having friends in the court system for the accuracy part of your writing.
For the research, yes, for the research. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, I know that that's really important to readers, that they feel like, they, you know, that they're not taken out of that story by things that they think, oh, well, that's not actually the way it's done. And so this court reporter, Kay Gittinger, I interviewed her specifically about techniques and how she learned to do what she does and so forth. But I also have a friend who's a retired homicide detective from the San Antonio Police Department, and he was involved in some high-profile cases back in the 90s, and he's retired now. And so he read the transcript and helped, and he's read a couple of them, helped me with police procedure, how crime scenes are handled, how warrants are handled, a lot of the issues of how evidence is handled. And so that was really helpful because people tend to think what they see on TV is the way it is actually done. And it's really not, and particularly in terms of timeline, that things just, you know, 10 minutes later, they've got DNA results.
Right.
You know, they can just they can just pop in and find out the entire background of this person, like there's one database that they can go to that'll tell them about their high school career and where they went to college and their military career and, you know, where they were in prison, when in fact that information is not located in one place and it takes some time to gather it. So the other part of the research that was really fascinating for me in this particular instance involved serial killers. And I did a lot, read up several books, particularly books about Ted Bundy and the BTK killer in Wichita, Kansas, and a number of those serial killers that are well known, in order to be able to have all of the information that I needed to sprinkle through this story to get it that hint of authenticity, and also just the basic science, so that all the studies that have been done about what makes serial killers who they are. And so there was just a tremendous amount of research that went into this book, and I had a lot of fun writing it.
And I find, too, that, part of it is, when you're writing, is subtly educating your reader in your local, how things are done in your local area, right? I mean,
true.
I'm in Northern Virginia, and there's, you know, things that are probably, they're done differently here than there would be in Texas.
Absolutely.
And just trying to help people understand, you know, a few little comments here and there about, you know, how things, how our child welfare system works and this kind of thing.
That's
a little
one.
Bit, you know, because a reader could read and go, oh, well, that would never happen. But, well, it might in Texas, but it might not in Virginia. So that, I think it's helpful for us
true.
When we're writers, is to remind them, this is how things are done here.
Yeah, that's absolutely
true. Because there are differences.
Yeah, there's differences in the law. In Texas, they don't use the term premeditated. So there's some differences in, some states have a death penalty and others don't. And the way
right.
the death penalty is carried out may be different, and the prison system is certainly different. So It's very hard. I find myself every time I'm writing, you know, a scene, that it's like, okay, I have to stop and research this. I have to stop. And a lot of times I end up going down these rabbit holes with research. And I have all these tabs open just so I can write this one scene. But I know that readers expect that, you know, they want to enjoy the story. You know, and with romantic suspense, of course, you want there to be the romance. And in the case of my books, there's usually an underlying spiritual theme. So there's a lot that has to be brought together, and all the details have to be tied together, and all the threads have to be tied up at the end. And, so it's a challenge. Romantic suspense is it takes me longer to do one than an Amish romance. But I definitely enjoy the challenge, particularly since I'm a seat of the pants writer. I don't outline, so I don't always know where I'm going.
Yeah,
so it's definitely interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, I'm more of a seat of the pants, although I'm trying to do a little more outlining just to help me write faster. Sometimes I get stuck.
Not have to do quite so much rewriting.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I have limited time to write at this point in my life. I have 5 kids in my house now, and other things going on. And and as we're recording this, they're still at, you know, half of them are in virtual school. I'm homeschooling the other half, and I mean, it's just
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Well, we won't go down that rabbit trail, Kelly.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear my story, my sad story.
But we could spend some time on that. I've got a daughter.
We could, but we're not going to bore our listeners with that. We'll talk about more fun stuff, like complex plot lines.
That's right.
Yeah, but I will say that there's been, the way our minds work as romantic suspense writers can be kind of a little funny, because I've actually written, you know, writing my book, and then I'm like on chapter, I don't know, 20, and I'm like, oh, that's why that happened in chapter 10, because I like tie it together, and my subconscious was doing, that ever happened to you?
it does, and I love it when it happens. Our character shows up, like, where the heck did they come from?
You
know?
Yes,
and then they become important to the story. And a lot of writers I know do these character sketches before they start, and they know all about their character's backstory and you know, what kind of music and food they like. And I don't know most of that when I start, and it just happens organically. And I, you know, I'm like, wow, I did not know that this character had this issue. But it fits into the story. And sometimes I wake up in the morning with a scene in my head, and it's like my brain was working on it overnight. And that is part of the joy of writing and creativity.
Yeah, I like, I do a little bit of the character sketches for my main characters, but my side characters, when I'm doing the rough draft, I'll just name them like best friend one and things like that, and go back and fix them. And because thinking of names for my character really can bog me down. Do you have trouble with names?
Yes, and in fact, I've had some problems with the book I'm working on now, that I keep trying out different names, and I'm like, you know, that's not it. That's just not working for me.
I recently posted on our local next door, because I had a brilliant idea. I said, I'm going to ask for some actual phone books, because last names are so hard for me. So I have some. Now I'm sitting in my office. I have some phone books that I can go and look at last names. It's been great.
That is a great idea. I sometimes just look in newspapers. You know, like I receive an electronic edition of the newspaper, and I'll just go through the newspaper trying to find names. But it just, sometimes they click and sometimes they don't. You know, the little things that you spend so much time on, you know, it's like, I really need to get past this so I can actually get some writing done.
I know. So that was my problem. And if you try Googling, like, I would come up with, I have a baby book to do the first name, which is fine. And, you know, but I would Google, you know, for example, what's a good name with Robert? Well, I mean, it's just not a good way to come up with last names. Flipping through the phone book, I found that, so this has been much better, having some phone books on my house. If I got rid of all mine, man, if I had thought about that, I wouldn't have recycled them all.
That people still have them.
Well, I took a chance and figured somebody probably still has them somewhere, and they were happy to get rid of it. And maybe I made some more readers because they were like, where are your books? This sounds like a great idea. I don't have any phone books.
Oh, that is so funny, the things that we do as writers.
I
take for somebody to look at my tabs on my computer and say they would really wonder what was wrong with me.
Yes, I know. I at least now that I have had, some romantic suspense published, I'm like, okay, at least if the FBI comes knocking at my door because I'm researching how to build a bomb, they will, it's for this, I have a contract to write a book about. So at least they'll hopefully give me a pass on that. I wouldn't want the average person to look at what I'm looking at, especially when I'm researching things like undetectable poisons and
yep.
No one ever come over to my house for dinner anymore. And
exactly.
Well, Kelly, we are almost at the end of our time. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about you and your writing?
No, I think that's it. I really enjoyed writing this book. I had a lot of fun with it, and I hope that they'll enjoy reading it.
I'm sure they will. And listeners, stick around. After our interview, you can listen to an excerpt from Closer Than She Knows. You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with bestselling author Kelly Irvin. She's written numerous books, including Romantic Suspense and Amish Romance, and you can find out how to connect with her with the notes for this podcast. I hope you join me next time.
Now an excerpt from Closer Than She Knows by Kelly Irvin. 6 pounds of pot, a 38 special, and a by-the-book cop. Tegan O'Rourke rolled the words around in her head. They sounded like the opening lyrics of a classic rock and roll anthem instead of evidence in a murder trial. Weary to the soles of her black pumps, she stared out the window of the San Antonio Police Department vehicle and watched small, unassuming homes built along a long, narrow city park whiz by. Park Boulevard failed to deliver on its grand name. Latino kids screamed and laughed on the playground, seniors stretched on outdoor fitness equipment, teenagers engaged in a fierce pickup game on the covered basketball court. Only the tennis courts stood empty and forlorn, their nets waffling in the breeze. Play with me. Please play with me. No one looked up at the SAPD unit. Cop cars were as common as mosquitoes during a humid summer in this neighborhood. If her mother were here, she'd say, "You reap what you sow, Tegan Catherine O'Rourke." 20 awkward minutes in a car with a newbie wasn't so bad. Officer Moreno had unbent enough to tell Tegan she had plans to go to a movie with her fiancé that evening. After much debate, they'd decided on a superhero action flick. Officer Moreno preferred dramas. Her fiancé liked what she'd termed stupid comedies. A lot of bathroom humor and raunchy. That's his idea of funny. Like a lot of men in the arrested development stage. Maybe by the time they returned to Tegan's Prius in the parking garage across from the Paul Elizondo Tower downtown, she'd know the officer's first name. Most trials didn't require such an expeditious disposal of the evidence to SAPD's evidence room, but Judge Ibarra had ordered the immediate return of this evidence due to the nature of the trial and the involvement of opposing gangs likely to retaliate over its outcome. Tegan didn't mind. It meant less evidence she had to worry about storing in her crowded office vault. "We're almost there, Miss O'Rourke." Officer Moreno came to a full stop at the corner of Park and Academic Court, where the glass-covered police department recruitment center and property room facilities glinted in the late afternoon sun. A smile brought out dimples on her cherub-cheeked face. Her assignment to escort a court reporter and the evidence to the property room was almost to the halfway point. She'd told Moreno to call her Tegan, but the patrolwoman couldn't seem to manage it.
"I'll get us through security, we'll stow the evidence, and I'll have you back to your car in a jiffy."
Did people still say in a jiffy? Tegan's grandma might, but this woman was no more than 24, a couple of years younger than Tegan. She studied the officer's face as she turned onto Academic Court and accelerated. This woman was for real, a straight shooter determined to be successful in a man's world. Tegan smiled, but Marino had already returned her gaze to the road, hands at the proper 10-2 positions on the wheel. I know there's plenty of other things you'd rather do than babysit evidence. The driver's side window exploded. The force knocked Tegan's head against her window. Sudden pain pricked her face. Fragments of glass pierced her cheeks and forehead. The car swerved, jumped the curb, and crashed into the wrought iron fence that protected the academy. Was this what Mom felt the day she died? The inevitability of it? Airbags ballooned. Tegan slammed back against her seat.
I'm sorry, Max. I'm sorry I never said it.
A second later, the bag deflated. The smell of nitrogen gases gagged her. Powder coated her face. The skin on the back of her hands burned. Time sped up in an odd, off-kilter tick-tock. Tegan struggled to open her eyes. Pain pulsed in her temple. Her stomach heaved. Waves of adrenaline shook her body as if she grasped a live electrical wire.
I'm alive. Today's not my day to die.
The evidence. Protect the evidence.
Officer Marino?
She tried to sit upright, but her seatbelt bit into her sore chest.
Officer.
Head down, Marino slumped to her right, held back by her seatbelt. Blood coursed down her face. A lot of blood, considering airbags should have protected her from a hard hit from the wheel or the windshield with its safety glass. Tegan struggled to lean toward the officer. Her seatbelt clenched tighter. Her lungs refused to cooperate.
Officer!
The strangled word barely broke the sudden, ringing silence. She wiggled toward the woman. She stopped. 6 years of slapping evidence stickers on crime scene photos and listening to medical examiner's testimonies forced her to admit what she was seeing. Officer Marino had a hole in the side of her head near the temple. A bullet had pierced her skull and scrambled her brain. Tegan forced her gaze from the dead woman's face. A warm, humid breeze wafted through Moreno's window, sending the smell of blood and human waste to assail Tegan's nose. She'd written official court documents for dozens upon dozens of murders, attempted murders, and aggravated assault cases. She transcribed those court records. She proofread them. She added her official certification to each one. Now, she knew. Death stank. Murder stank. Vomit rose in her throat.
No, no, no.
Tegan fought with her seatbelt. Her hands shook.
Come on, come on.
Deep breaths.
Her father's Dallas drawl filled her rattled brain.
Just breathe.
Tegan inhaled and exhaled. She unhooked the belt. Gently, she touched Officer Moreno's wrist. Her pride in that navy blue uniform had been so obvious. Warm skin rewarded Tegan's efforts. Wisps of brown hair grew above the woman's wrist. The details flooded Tegan, trying to drown the one salient fact. Officer Moreno had no pulse. the baby-faced officer didn't have to worry anymore about potty humor. She didn't have to worry about anything at all.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.